Good morning.
Good morning.
Let us pray. Lord, I'm asking that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, that they would be acceptable in your sight. Lord, we are asking that you would give us ears to hear your word, hearts to love your word, and the will to do your word when we leave this place. We ask, Father, during this week as we sit with you and commune with you and hear from you, that you would form our hearts, Lord, toward your heart. And that we would become gentle and humble people, Lord, prepared to go back into the world for your glory, to proclaim the grace of your gospel, Lord, to those who are dying in this sinful world. So have your way, Holy Spirit. Make us over again, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Man, yesterday someone asked the question about just the practical steps we can take to begin to live a more gentle and humble life. And so I think we'll begin to transition to thinking about these practical aspects of what it means to have the heart of gentleness like Christ has toward us in our interactions with other people in the church, in our personal lives, but also in our witness within the world. Amen?
Amen.
And so I believe in your notes it has Hebrews 7:25 as the text that will set our course today. We will address Hebrews 7:25, but I want to spend most of our time in Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Philippians 4, 1 through 7. And at verse 1, you find these words. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. I entreat Euodia and Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let the church say rejoice.
Rejoice.
Let your response, your reasonableness, or your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The word of God for you, the people of God. Thanks be to God. We think about these practical implications. I want to put this thought in your minds to guide our time together today. Gentle with everyone all the time. That's simple enough, right? Gentle with everyone all the time. Are there people you struggle to be gentle with? Because you can't see past their sins against you? Do you have a wall up and want to retreat from them every time you see them? Or are you ready to do battle when they walk in the room? The reality of resentment is as real in the social environment of our country and in the church as it is in our personal lives. Very rarely have I met someone who is gentle with everyone all the time. In fact, I've never met anyone who's gentle with everyone all the time. I did have an uncle, though, who was gentle with his wife all the time. It was remarkable to see a man who was so understanding with his wife. He was so nice to her and so good to her, it almost made you sick. But after years of watching him and learning that my aunt had a history of domestic abuse, I realized that he was giving her the medicine she needed to heal from her past. It really wasn't an act. This was his heart for her. He was determined to love this woman everywhere, in every way, every time. How does one then, friends, pursue a life where they can begin to be gentle with everyone all the time? Many have allowed the brokenness of relational hurts and internal anxieties to harden us and to make us harsh with people, trying to control the circumstances of our lives and trying to deal with or get over the inevitable offenses that come with life in a sinful world. But in today's text, God, through Paul, calls us to be people who are gentle with everyone all the time. So the relevant question we want to answer, Family Camp, is this: how do we walk with gentleness with all people? The first principle I see in the text about accessing gentleness in our real lives is this. Number one, gentleness is accessed in our lives by thinking like Christ. Here again, Philippians 4, 1 and 2. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. In Philippians 4, 1, we see the utter delight that the Apostle Paul has in the leaders and members of the Philippian church. To say the least, he thinks highly of them. They are those he longs for, his joy, his crown. Is this how you feel about the elders and the members of your local church? Paul's heart for the Philippians is expressed in how he talks about them and how he feels what Christ feels for them. Paul thinks about the church the way Christ thinks about the church. Let your mind roll to the intimacy with which Christ prays for the church in John chapter 17. Christ is passionate about his people, therefore he will suffer for his people. But it also simply leads him to pray for his people and their well-being. This is modeled by the apostle in today's text, especially in the midst of relational strife between two women who have been instrumental in Paul's missionary ministry and influential in the Philippian church. Though these women are in circumstances of discord, Paul does not discredit their value to the body or their future usefulness in the body. He simply tells these two women that he values deeply along with the rest of the saints. Through his fellow servant, whom he's writing instructions to give counsel to these women. And here's Paul's counsel. Here's Paul's prescription for the discord that they are dealing with. Start thinking like Christ about each other. Take on the attitude and disposition of Christ toward each other. If you're going to solve this temporary disagreement and treat each other with the dignity, respect, and, yes, gentleness that will lead to resolution of your momentary misunderstanding with each other, you have to see one another as Christ does. Friends, gentleness does not mean we will not find ourselves in disagreeable circumstances with other people in the church or in the world. But gentleness requires us to think about people as Christ thinks about them. Dane Ortlund, again, in his book, Gentle and Lowly, gives us a wonderful illustration of how we often misunderstand the heart of God toward us, which impairs us from loving people as Christ loves them through us. He writes, "Our very view of God must change. What would we say to a 7-year-old who, upon being given a birthday gift by his loving father, immediately scrambled to reach for his piggy bank to try to pay his dad back? How painful to a father's heart. That child needs to change his very view of who his father is and what his father delights to do. And often, friends, our inability to apprehend the gentle heart of God toward us impairs us from walking in gentleness toward others in the church and in the world. We define people so much by their failure, amen, rather than the grace and love of God, that we are unable to see them for who they are to God and who they should be to us. Paul, on the other hand, speaks with love about the Philippian church, and he corrects these two women with love because he loves them, because he sees them as Christ sees them. He is further able to admonish these two women to have the mind of Christ because he believes that they both, though blinded momentarily, have an understanding of the power and self-sacrificing of love in Christ in order to save several sinners in the depths of their sin in their own lives. That he believes so powerfully in the work of the Spirit to transform them from the inside out, that they will be able to apply it in their, not only according to themselves, but in their interactions with another member in the church, and find resolution for this present problem. Today, God, friends, through his word, calls us to abandon a hard and critical heart in the church and in the world toward those who we presently disagree with. And he calls us to think about people with the mind of Christ, to take on the attitude of Christ. See them through the eyes of redemption, correcting them with the hope of restoration, finding joy in our brothers and sisters in Christ, and praying for the salvation of our brothers and sisters in creation. Loving our enemy and doing good to those who don't mean good toward us. What would this do to our ministry of evangelism? What would this do in our relationship with those who disagree with us theologically in the church, but Christ still calls us to stay connected to them in the body? How would this transform our practice of church discipline? How would having the mind of Christ inform conflict resolution on our jobs or in the social dynamics of our communities and congregations? Our inability to see people positively, to relate gently, and resolve conflict peaceably is often because we don't think like Christ, therefore don't have the attitude of Christ in our relationship with others in and out of the church. Yet today, the Word of God calls us afresh to access gentleness by thinking like Christ. Amen? Somebody yesterday said that RPs are competitive, whether we're cleaning our dorm rooms or playing broom ball. But that's not all we are, amen? We all should be able to say we are a gentle people. We are a forgiving people. We are a gracious people. We are a loving people. We are a people of faith. Not only what Christ can do in us, but what he can do in the person sitting next to us. And what he could do to people who are dying in sin in this world. Second principle I see in the text of accessing gentleness in our lives and in our church is this. Gentleness is accessed in our lives by being mindful of the presence of the Lord and our accountability to the Lord with everyone all the time. Verses 4 and 5. It says, rejoice in the Lord sometimes. Rejoice in the Lord when it's all going your way. No, the text says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let the church say rejoice again.
Rejoice.
Let your reasonableness in the ESV, but your gentleness in other translations be known to everyone. That's just so radical, right? Everyone. The Lord is at hand. Gentleness is accessed in our lives by being mindful of the presence of the Lord and our accountability to the Lord with everyone all the time. Paul, in these two verses, reminds us that we are a people of praise in the Lord. Amen? I appreciate the praise of the saints singing this morning. We are to rejoice not in the tranquil circumstances of life, not in the abundance of our resources, not in our access to power. Rather, the believer is to find joy in life by rejoicing in the Lord. When the Lord is present in your life, friends, you have the peace, the resource, and the power you need for the diverse circumstances that we will experience on this pilgrim journey. The presence of the Lord, amen, is a reason that Paul calls the Philippian disciples of the Lord to be gentle and reasonable in their interactions with everyone all the time. That a true people of praise to the Most High God will be a people who are gentle in relationship to their fellow man. What can you not handle when the Lord is near, Paul says. Rejoice in the Lord. Let your gentleness be known to all, for the Lord is near. You don't have to be moved out of the unbalanced passions of your emotions. Rather, rejoice that you are able to call on the Lord, and he will guide you and will hide you if need be in the time of trouble. Rejoice in the Lord. Therefore, praise becomes a motivator for Paul for gentle and balanced living that distinguishes the believer from the irrational unbeliever who must always be working from a place of insecurity and anxiety, trying to control their life circumstances. The apostle, friends, encourages the Philippians that they should rejoice because the presence of the Lord in their lives through the redemption of Jesus Christ. The believer should also gently interact with all people in all circumstances. Why? Because the Lord is near. Paul is not specific on the exact application of this reminder of the presence of the Lord near the believer, which should produce gentleness in the believer's general social interactions. It may be, here it is, that Paul is reminding the believer of the omnipresence of the Lord, which makes the believer accountable in every situation to honor God in their interactions with all people. God is always present, therefore you ought to honor him in all your interactions. Paul also may be reminding the believer of the certain return of the Lord, who will judge his people and the world at the consummation of his kingdom. In that case, you will have to give account to the Lord for how you are living your life and how you are treating and relating to other people. In either case, the application remains the same. The Philippians' general disposition in the social realm of the Christian life in the world is to be one of gentleness and approachability, as one of the young people said, as representatives of the gentle Savior who says, "Come unto me, all who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." As Christ's ambassadors, we are to extend his welcome through our general disposition and interactions with all people, saints and sinners, as we honor and are accountable to Christ now and at the judgment. It is like the presence of the Father in the home. My boys conduct themselves in a certain way when I am in the house because they are aware of my presence. Yet there are times when I am away from the home and Denise has to remind them, "Your father is on the way. And I'm going to tell him how you have been acting." This reminder as well brings correction to the boys' behavior because they are accountable to their father. So too, friends, are we accountable to the Lord of heaven and earth as his children in our actions with everyone all the time? We are not to act with the harsh and self-centered hubris modeled in sinful human society. Rather, we are citizens of the kingdom of God. And as we take on his yoke and learn of Christ, we are to imitate the gentleness that Christ extended to us in salvation as we are ministers of reconciliation to all we come in contact with in our daily intercourse with people in the world. We are not to put on our gentleness only on Sundays or only in the Christian community, compartmentalizing our imitation of Christ to the communities that we feel safe in. Gentleness is to be the common disposition of the believer in Jesus Christ. The Pittsburgh playwright August Wilson commented about one of his actors who, when he said, he wears his humanity like a crown. Well, friends, we as representatives of Christ in the world are to wear gentleness and kindness as a crown, as we represent the King out in the world, knowing at all that at all times, that knowing that at all in all times and at the judgment, we are accountable to the King for how we represent him in the world. Gentleness is accessed in our lives by being mindful of the presence of the Lord and our accountability to the Lord with everyone all the time. The third principle on accessing gentleness that I pray helps you in our time together today is this. Gentleness is accessed in carrying our cares to Christ and receiving his comfort. Gentleness is accessed through carrying our cares to Christ and receiving his comfort. Verses 6 and 7. It says in verse 6, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Anxiety, I don't know about you, but I believe this is, I've experienced this in my life. Anxiety can produce harshness and hardness in our attitude and interactions with others in the body of Christ and in the world. Anxiety impairs how we see God and how we see people and how we see our circumstances. Anxiety magnifies our problems above our God. Anxiety sees people as problems and a nuisance rather than through the potential of union with Christ. Anxiety kills our rejoicing, doesn't it? Especially our rejoicing in the Lord and our gentleness with people. For this reason, Paul tells us to pray about everything if we're going to walk with the gentle spirit that Christ calls us to as his representatives in the church and the world. Petition and praise magnify God above the problems and the people we are facing in life. But anxiety magnifies problems and people above our God. Friends, we can't be people of praise that walk in gentleness if we are overcome by anxiety. We can't be gentle with all people at all times if we are not a people of persistent prayer. For here it is. Problems are always going to arise in a sinful world. Therefore, we must always raise our prayers and praise to God. Otherwise, we will be overwhelmed by the anxiety and insecurities of life. Most harsh people are insecure people. But prayerful people are free to be gentle people because they have put their insecurities in the hands of God, who secures them in an insecure world. The people of God are to put their need before the Lord, knowing that the Father knows what's best for them and is there with them in every situation. The Lord is near. Knowing that God knows your request and that God knows what is best then allows the peace that comes from the knowledge of who God is to protect your mind and stabilize your emotions. Praying about everything, let the church say everything, magnifies God in relationship to your circumstances and frees you to concern yourself with living for his glory when you go back into the world as his representative. It does not mean that painful and difficult circumstances won't arise, but the one who is praying all the time about everything will have their mind guarded and secured by a peace that surpasses the reality of the circumstances that we are dealing with in our life, even though there is pain and disappointment attached to what we go through in this fallen world. God promises to the one who prays a divine centurion to keep you in the situations where you cannot keep yourself. So that through it all, you can not only trust in the Lord, but you can live for the Lord in every experience. When we pray about everything, God promises an emotional and mental stability that undergirds our general well-being and faithfulness to Him, even in the difficult circumstances of life when we pray. Here is where other scripture is helpful to illuminate what Paul is teaching us. We are talking about praying and pursuing gentleness. Amen? Ortland again reminds us in chapter 8 of his book, Gentle and Lonely, that in Hebrews 7 and 25, our sanctification, our formation into the very image of the Son, is undergirded by the intercession of Christ. That our growth in Christ's likeness, grace, and gentleness is such a priority to the Savior that He is always praying for us that we might come to the completion of being conformed to His image. Therefore, if Christ is always praying for us, friends, in the difficult experience of life in this sinful world, shouldn't we be praying for Christ like gentleness and grace to be formed in us throughout the difficult circumstances of our own lives? If Jesus is praying, you need to be praying. Ortland writes, one way to think of Christ's intercession then is simply this: Jesus is praying right now. It is a consoling thought, wrote theologian Louis Burkhoff, that Christ is praying for us even when we are negligent in our prayer life. Our prayer life stinks most of the time. But what if you hear Jesus praying aloud for you in the next room? Few things would calm you more deeply. The doctrine of the present heavenly intercession of Christ is neglected today. Too bad, because it is a consoling truth that flows right from the heart of Christ, whereas the doctrine of atonement reassures us with what Christ has done in the past. The doctrine of His intercession reassures us with what Christ is doing in the present. The hymnologist, if you will, said it this way: oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Christ today, friends, calls us to bring all our cares to Him because He cares for us, and to find that we are freed by Him to live for Him in the grace of gentleness that is an instrument for salvation, reconciliation, and sanctification in the life of the believer, in the church, in the world, as we think like Christ. For we are accountable to Christ as we gently honor Christ, who is ever present in our interactions with all people all the time. Amen. Pray with me. Lord, we thank You for Your word. We ask, Lord God, that You would make it true in our lives and in our hearts and in our minds. We ask, Lord, again, just that You would make us people of prayer and praise and gentleness as we reflect on this time with one on this message with one another. This we pray in Your strong name, Jesus the Christ. Amen.